Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John, please. The Gospel of John, chapter 11. The Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 25. The Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 25 to 27. The Gospel of John, chapter 11. Verses 25 to 27, it reads, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Let's bow for prayer. O God, we have been reminded of your greatness in song, and we rejoice in your goodness and greatness towards us. And that while we were yet sinners, your Son, Jesus Christ, died for us. And I pray on this Resurrection Sunday, cause us to meditate and reflect and rejoice in our risen Saviour, Jesus Christ. In his precious name we do pray. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is foundational to the validity or the authenticity of biblical Christianity. What do we mean by the resurrection of Jesus Christ? We simply mean that Jesus Christ arose from the dead. He arose bodily, he arose visibly, he arose personally. The Bible teaches us a bodily, visible, and personal resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that not only affirms the words and works of Christ, it also assures us of the possibility, the provision of salvation and the possession of eternal life. And that's the fact that the Lord Jesus spelled out there in verse number 25, where he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. In order for there to be a resurrection, there had to be a death. And it was beyond doubt that Jesus Christ died on the cross. In fact, in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, please, the soldiers that oversaw the crucifixion of Jesus Christ were convinced that he had died. Note there in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 32 to 37, it reads, Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith, And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things are done, that the scriptures should be fulfilled. A bone of him should not be broken. And again another scripture saith, And they shall look on him whom they pierced. So in order for there to be a bodily, visible, and personal resurrection of Jesus Christ, there has to be no doubt that he died. And obviously the Roman soldiers, as they looked upon the body of Christ suspended there between heaven and hell, they were convinced that Jesus Christ had died physically. His burial also is proof that he died. The Bible teaches us that he was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. We read on in verses 38 to 42 of John chapter 19. It reads, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave," or allowed him. "He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. In the garden, a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand." So note the reference here to the body of Jesus, the body of Jesus. His burial was a proof of the fact that Jesus Christ died. The Bible teaches us that Pilate has the tomb sealed and guarded lest anyone steal the body, according to Matthew chapter 27, verses 62 to 66. And if you would turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, please, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1, 2, and 3. "The coming of the women to anoint the dead body of our Lord Jesus is also proof that he died. The Roman soldiers testified that he had died physically. His burial in a tomb affirms the fact that he had died physically. And the coming of the women to anoint the body of our Lord Jesus was also proof of his death." Mark chapter 16, verses 1, 2, and 3 read, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And then the Bible goes on to read in verses 4 and 5 that upon arrival at the tomb, they saw that the tomb was opened. And the Bible teaches us that they entered in and noted the body of our Lord was missing. Note then verses 4 and 5. "And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted," or afraid. This angelic being here within the tomb informed this group of ladies that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. He is risen from the dead. Note then verse number 6, please. "And he said unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. This group of ladies were informed concerning the fact that Jesus Christ is no longer in the tomb. He is risen from the dead. See, Jesus Christ not only predicted his death, he also predicted his bodily resurrection. Note there in the Gospel of Matthew, please, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 21. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and of the priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Also note there in chapter 17 of Matthew, verse 23. Chapter 17, verse number 23 of the book of Matthew. And they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. Then go to Matthew chapter 20, please. Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 to 19. Once again, the Lord Jesus foretells his death and bodily resurrection. Verse 17, and Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. Note verse 19. And they shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Jesus Christ not only predicted his own death, but he also predicted his bodily resurrection. And when that angelic being said to that group of women there within the tomb, he is risen, that was a fulfillment of the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that I will not only be killed, but also I will arise from the dead. If we go to Matthew chapter 28, please, Matthew chapter 28. In verses 7 and 8, please. Matthew chapter 28, verses 7 and 8. Upon the announcement in verse number 6, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. The angelic beings said, go quickly, verse 7. And tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. And there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. So the women were instructed to tell the disciples of his resurrection, and that he will meet them soon there in Galilee. There were countless eyewitnesses of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, in the book of Acts, please, Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, people witnessed the risen Christ over a period of some 40 days before he ascended back to heaven. The risen Lord made himself known over a period of 40 days. Note there in Acts chapter 1, verse number 3, it reads, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion,
by many infallible proofs, being seen of them, note, 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. The Bible teaches us in the mouth of two witnesses every word should be established. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15, the Bible reads, "One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established." So within the Jewish mind, they understood that nothing can be proven as a strong possibility unless there were at least two witnesses. Two to three witnesses was all that was needed. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ was witnessed by a number of individuals for over a period of 40 days. And that's why the author of the book of Acts, Dr. Luke, said that Jesus Christ revealed himself, and it's undeniable concerning the fact that Jesus Christ not only died for our sins, he was buried, but that he rose again. The Lord Jesus first and foremost appeared unto Mary Magdalene following his resurrection. And that's recorded in the Gospel of John, please. The Gospel of John chapter 20. The Gospel of John chapter 20, verses 11 to 18. "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And seeing two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at his feet, where the body of the Lord, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, 'Woman, why weepest thou?' And she said unto them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord. I know not where they have laid him.' And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, 'Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?' She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, 'Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said unto her, 'Mary.' She turned herself and saith unto him, 'Rabboni,' which is to say, 'Master.' And Jesus said unto her, 'Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God.' Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things unto her." So the Lord Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene first and foremost following his resurrection. But also the Bible teaches us that the Lord Jesus appears to that group of women that visited him at the tomb. If you go back to Matthew chapter 28, please. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verses 9 and 10. The group of women were told to go back and tell the disciples that Christ is risen. And the Bible reads in verses 9 and 10 that as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them on the way, no doubt, saying, "All hail," and they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me." So the Lord Jesus appears unto Mary Magdalene. The Lord Jesus appears to that group of women that came to the tomb to anoint his dead body. And if we go to the Gospel of Mark once again, please. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. In verses 12 and 13, we see that our Lord Jesus appears in his risen body to two on the road to Emmaus. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. And after that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told unto the residue. Neither believed they them. So the Lord Jesus appeared unto two on the road to Emmaus. The Lord Jesus appeared to that group of women that came to anoint the body of Christ. The Lord Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene first and foremost. Of all people, Mary Magdalene, that wicked woman that was full of demons that God had gloriously delivered her from, Jesus Christ appeared to her first and foremost. And then to the group of women, then to the two on the road to Emmaus. And then we go to the Gospel of John chapter 20, please. The Gospel of John chapter 20. He appears to 10 of the disciples here in John chapter 20, verses 19 to 24. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 24, it reads, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so thus, he showed unto them his hands and his feet. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father have sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." And note verse 24, "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." So here we have the appearance of our Lord Jesus to 10 of the disciples with the absence of Thomas. But as we read on in verses 25 to 28, "The other disciple therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the door being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands. Reach hither my hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Thomas believed that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. See, the Lord Jesus was witnessed by countless individuals following his resurrection over a period of 40 days. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read not too long ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please, once again. Note then verses 5 and 6. The Bible reads that he was seen of Cephas, that is Simon Peter, then of the 12. And note verse 6, and up that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, at one time, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. So not only was the Lord Jesus seen by Mary Magdalene, not only was the Lord Jesus seen by that group of women, the Lord Jesus was seen by Simon Peter, the Lord Jesus was seen by the disciples. The Bible teaches us that over 500 people witnessed the risen Christ at one time, that Jesus Christ was no longer dead, but that he arose from the dead. Jesus Christ was seen by countless witnesses. If you had 500 witnesses to an event, I think that's pretty convincing. Would you all agree with that? If you had 500 witnesses to an event and they all said the same thing, I think that's fairly convincing. In fact, that is convincing, that the probability is that it happened. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Jesus Christ was buried, and Jesus Christ arose from the dead according to the Scriptures. See, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the consummation of his mission. That is, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. The Bible teaches us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it's our sin that separates us from a holy God. And there is only one mediator between God and men, the man. The man Christ Jesus. God became flesh, dwelt among us. And he went to an old rugged cross, and on that cross he shed his blood for your sin, for my sin. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ knew very clearly what his mission was. He said to Joseph and Mary at the age of 12, I must be about my Father's business. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Jesus Christ was born in order to die. And the Lord Jesus not only predicted his death, but he predicted his resurrection. And over 500 individuals over a period of 40 days witness the risen Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a fact of history, undeniable. And it gives us the assurance of forgiveness and the hope of eternal life. If you're still there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, note there in verses 17 to 20, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 17 to 20, it reads, And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. So in other words, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, if there was no bodily resurrection, then Christianity is vain. It's empty. It's worthless. It's just a dead religion. And more so, we are still in our sin. How do we remedy our sin? How do we remedy this sin that leads to death? If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sin. Note verse 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. There is no hope for those that have died and for those that are about to die. Verse 19, And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, and Christ did not rise from the dead, he's saying that we are of most men, we are of all men most miserable.
Because our faith has no substance. There is no forgiveness. There is no hope. But note verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. See, if there's no risen Christ, there is no Christianity. There is no forgiveness. There is no hope. We are most miserable. But if there is a risen Christ, if Christ really arose from the dead, if Jesus Christ is risen, then there is hope. There is forgiveness. There is the possibility of joy in a world that is so full of sadness and wickedness and darkness and disappointments, that in Christ we can know of the assurance of a home in heaven. And as Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. There is hope. There is forgiveness. And my friend, this morning on this Resurrection Sunday, I'd like to affirm to you that Jesus Christ arose from the dead. He not only died for our sins, that's a historical fact. He was buried, that's a historical fact. And he arose from the dead, that's a historical fact. History. Resurrection of Jesus Christ is a fact of history and gives us the assurance of forgiveness and the hope of eternal life. Have you experienced God's forgiveness? Oh, Pastor, I'm not that bad. Oh, yes, you are. You might not be that bad compared to the bloke sitting next to you. But before a holy, righteous God, you are a scoundrel. You are filthy, rotten to the core. Worthy of hellfire. According to God's standards. That's our problem. But the good news is that God has provided a solution. The solution is Jesus Christ. And here it is spelled up for you. Spelled out for you. Christ Jesus came into the world to save who?
Sinners.
Who?
Sinners.
What are we? And the day you admit that you're a sinner before holy God will be the very day by which you can have a life, your life changed, and enjoy God's forgiveness. Have you received God's gift, which is eternal life? Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the consummation of his mission. Without Christ, there is no forgiveness. And my friend, I invite you this morning on this Resurrection Sunday to receive God's gift, which is eternal life. Forgiveness. The world's broken. Have you worked it out yet? The world's broken. The world's a mess. Talk to me. The world's not getting any better. Talk to me. And it ain't going to get any better. This is going to continue to deteriorate. That's the effect of sin. And my friend, the only remedy is Jesus Christ. And he proved his authority. He proved his credentials by not only claiming that he would die, be buried, and come back to life. He fulfilled that. And he offers eternal life for you and I. Biblical Christianity finds its valid, it's made valid. It is valid based upon the fact that Jesus Christ rose again. Otherwise, how do we explain biblical Christianity's existence all over the world? How do you explain it? If their founder is dead, how do we explain changed lives from every ethnic group around the world? All affirming that Jesus Christ has changed their life. How do you explain that? Oh, Pastor, that's just a coincidence. I don't think so. People all over the world claiming forgiveness, a changed life, all pointing back to Jesus Christ. How do we explain the impact of Christianity in every area of life? We are a Christian-based nation. This nation has been blessed because of its Christian roots. How do we explain the impact of Christianity in every area of life, from government to law to art to music to philosophy to education to science to medicine, the workplace, the family unit? All influenced by biblical Christianity. How do you explain that if its founder is dead? My friend, the only explanation is that Jesus Christ not only died, was buried, he rose again. His claims are true, proven, affirmed in his bodily resurrection from the dead. And my friend, he offers eternal life to you this morning. Jesus Christ said, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Has there been a time in your life that you acknowledge your need of Christ as a sinner and you've chosen to believe the gospel that Jesus Christ died, was buried and rose again, and you are willing to accept his payment on your behalf, and you're willing to invite Jesus Christ to be your savior from sin? It's not difficult to become a Bible Christian. And I invite you this morning to make that decision. If we believe in our heart, confess with our lips, we can become a part of God's family by faith. For Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive, resurrected in the power of the Spirit. I invite you on this Resurrection Sunday, my friend, if you've yet to receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, to invite Christ to come in. Otherwise, you will die in your sin. And I can assure you, you will die. It might not be tomorrow. It might be the day after. It might be in a week's time. But I can assure you, you're dying. You know why your body's dying? Because you're a sinner. You need forgiveness. Christ offers that forgiveness. And if you reject his gift of eternal life, then you will die in your sin apart from a holy God and go to a Christless eternity, a place called hellfire. It's your choice. Oh, Pastor, I'm just going to take my chances. You're a fool. You're an absolute fool. And the evidence is there. The proof's in the pudding, as we would say. You're going to gamble your eternity? I don't think that's wise. I invite you to receive Jesus Christ as Savior this morning. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.